previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
How's that toilet working out still? Is it you still sit on it hours at a time? Because it is the envy of Barry's Verluga and Liz Clark beyond measure.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, the police brings Gary and me back to our Charles W. Woodward days.
Is that right?
Indeed.
That's the first thing. Second of all, we're going on 23 days here in South Korea.
Yeah.
I have yet to stand for a one or two.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter. We're open for breakfast 5 days a week, 7 in the morning at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights in the district. Gary Braun is with us. Chris Saliz is with us. Adam Ferrara is in town. We're very happy to have Adam.
Hello, guys.
Michael Kornheiser is with us. Nigel will run the board and do the news, even though nothing works at the moment. Let me thank Sam Angel came in, fresh out of Drexel's 34-point overcoming in second half, well, the end of first half through second half.
Don't call it a comeback.
So he brought a whole bunch of stuff for people to have, and including chocolate, I assume, from Drexel.
Came down from Philly?
Came down from Philly, yes.
How about that?
Happy birthday over the weekend to Mickey, who was here, and Zach in Soho, who sent us ties. His dad is here.
Oh, yeah, thank you,
Zach. So we want to make sure. I mean, I could go through every single person here, but I'm not going to do that. We welcome Alice Brooklyn Abital, born on the 31st day of December, last day of the year,
cool.
Which means you qualify for tax benefit.
Huge.
Alice Brooklyn Abital.
Well, hurt
Gary,
youth
you got a
though.
Letter here. And Chris, you got a package
I did.
Here.
I got a postcard from VT, which I don't know who that is, unfortunately.
Vermont.
It said, what's the big deal with Sean White getting a third gold medal? I just fit 27 grapes in my mouth. Let's see the flying tomato do that.
Okay, that's
a fair
good.
Point.
Yeah, and you got?
Good. I got Otterbein. Chocolate chip cookies, Otterbein, Baltimore, Maryland, I believe.
Very good.
Chocolate chip cookies for my birthday.
That's very
thoughtful.
When was your birthday?
Last Tuesday.
Okay. 42.
Okay, very good.
I'm getting
very
old.
Good. Well, you're a man. You're not.
I know.
Close to
anyone bring internet?
Adam,
anyone
you're
bring
here,
working internet?
You're not, performing.
Adam,
in
is
town,
it your birthday?
You have a new album?
Hopefully that comes out in hopefully April. But I'm at Bananas Comedy Club in New Jersey this weekend, so I stopped by to say hello because I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Hmm. So can I ask about comedy albums? Because
yes,
at
you can.
My age, I actually do remember when comedy albums were important to the culture. When they got their own Grammy Award, when the button-down mind of Bob Newhart or the First Family with Vaughn Meader.
Occupation Fool, George Carlin.
These were enormous things in the digital revolution. Are comedy albums?
Yeah. There's a whole channel on Sirius. There's a couple. There's a Clean channel. There's a there's the Raw Dog,
which is more
explicit
clean.
And stuff.
Right.
So you can there's a market for it. And it's not like the album used to be like a whole album, and you would look at it that way. Now you can also have just little bits that are played on the air. So it's there's a whole resurgence of it. They're bringing back vinyl, too, which is really cool.
So people,
because you get to do a cover.
Yeah, I remember what these things looked like. Mm-hmm. I remember Stan Freberg, United States of America. I remember all of these things. Do you, if they play your stuff on Sirius, do people then go out and buy your...
Yeah, I have people like, you know, a lot of truck drivers, because they're driving through, they come to see me because you got me through this state and everything, so it's nice to hear that your message is being heard.
Do you have to have a title on your album, or is it just...
Yeah, well, you have to do, I'm working on a couple.
Well, you don't have it.
There's a couple of them yet.
How about Chatter?
This album
Chatter's
stinks.
Good. This
How
album,
about this
steal
album
this album. Right, the working title right now is Family is an F Word.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
So I'm working on that one, but the album's pretty clean, so I don't know if I want
to. So there's a great moment, speaking of F Words.
Yeah.
When Justin Thomas won the golf tournament yesterday.
Goodness. Oh, big
he
time.
He said what he said.
Heck yeah.
Well, when he was interviewed, when he was interviewed on the early Sports Center, or the late night Sports Center, carries over by John Buchegrass, who's himself a scratch player and very into golf.
Bucci Main is a scratch player?
Yeah, he's a scratch player.
Wow.
He's the best player in Bristol of the people on air. And there may be somebody else, but he's the best. So he mentioned that, and Justin Thomas said, I didn't know I was mic'd. I'm really sorry. My emotions got the best of me.
Hey, kids.
I'm really sorry. But I thought that was awfully good. And just to mention, you have TV guest spots that we should hear about.
Yeah, there's a new show on ABC called Deception. It airs March 11th.
A new show? Every channel is now debuting 19 shows. When did this happen? The restart in March?
Yeah. This is a mid-season replacement because we already shot him. I did a guest star episode. I'm not sure the number. I'm after Billy Zane. I know that. He did the episode before me.
Right.
But it's called Deception. It stars Jack Thomas Scott, who's a great English actor. He's one of those guys that sound like Nigel, and then when the cameras go on, he sounds like me.
Right.
Do you hate those people? Yeah. I'm like, this is all I got. Funny. I'm peaking right now. Right. This is it.
We can't have it if we're great actors.
Yes. Yeah. That shows up.
Is it a drama or a comedy?
Yeah, it's an hour dramedy. I play an alcoholic cop. They try and hang a murder on, and this guy helps me.
So it's a single guest shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, spoiler alert.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot.
You have to tell us you beat the rap.
Well, I didn't say I beat the rap.
Okay.
Let me get to a couple of things. Just for people involved in sort of the locality of Washington, D.C., it has rained.
Yes.
It's rained like 17. There have been even measuring trace rain. It had rained 17 of the last 18 days in this area. Even on the pretty days, it rained a little bit. I could have played, I guess, yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
I could have played Saturday. It was so wet. And the ground felt so big.
It's just been gloomy.
I didn't even want to walk.
It wasn't that cold, but it's
like a werewolf movie. When I got in yesterday, like that fog and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so, yesterday morning, or it might have been Saturday morning. You couldn't see 25 feet in front of you.
So I'm walking the dog Saturday morning in that.
Yeah.
And a dog's number one sense is smell. Smell is the big thing with dogs. Sight, not so much. But because you couldn't see at all, every 2 feet, Chessie would stop and be startled, or thought she was startled. It was a 50-minute walk to go a block and a half. Mm-hmm. It was like walking me out of Ingleside in 6 months. You know, it just took forever.
Is it lunchtime yet?
It took forever. So anyway, so it's supposedly tomorrow is supposed to be nice. Tuesday's supposed to be nice. Wednesday's supposed to be cloudy, but pretty nice. I'm thinking of bagging this show Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm thinking
of going out and hitting
championship
it.
Attitude.
Well, I'll make that decision at some point, but I'm thinking about it. So, the biggest sports story.
Can I just, before you dive all the way in, not from nothing, but do the air conditioning units here need to be set at 66 degrees?
It was 75.
Get Nigel to do it.
Everyone who feels a cold draft.
Yeah, cold. I was here twice just over the weekend. Like it was 75 degrees.
He'll make it 70. He'll make it.
Split the diff? It's your show. You like, if you want to do 66.
What would you guys like it on?
70.
40. 70 seems reasonable
That's
to
fine.
Me.
46.
Look, I mean, if it gets warm, we can turn it
press
back down.
Press the button.
70 is fine.
He's going to make the magic happen.
He can do this.
Make it rain, Nudge.
There is a story in sports that is larger than anything else. It is not the Olympics. Really it is not any particular basketball game or hockey game. It's not that. It's the Sean Miller story. Sean Miller, the head coach of Arizona, in a report by Mark Schlabaugh, who used to be at the Washington Post and whose credentials to me are totally great. Mark Schlabaugh had a report on Saturday, maybe Friday night into Saturday, that he learned from FBI people that there is a wiretapped conversation, including Sean Miller, discussing the possibility of paying, is it DeAndre Thornton? I don't know his name. DeAndre Ayton.
It's a freshman this year who's going to be a one and done.
Yep. Yeah. Discussing the possibility of giving him up to $100,000. This is essentially what happened at Louisville. And the accusation that at Louisville, this same amount of money was discussed between agents and in Louisville's case, Rick Pitino said, I know absolutely nothing about this.
Oh, no.
I am partial to Rick Pitino. He's a Long Island boy who went to St. Dominic's. I'm partial to Rick Pitino. But you can't keep saying I know nothing. Like I'm not saying Rick Pitino should still be the coach of Louisville. I'm not going that far.
Full Schultz on it.
Sean Miller, this is an FBI wiretap allegedly that has him talking about the possibility of $100,000 for this one player and saying something, if it's money, it goes through me. If that's true,
you're done
unless your defense is it's a sting operation by me, I went rogue. Unless that's your defense, you're out. You're Sean Miller and you're out. Now,
so the guy on the other side of the call asks the guy who is purportedly Miller, should I go through your assistant coach, Richardson? This is the guy who's already been arrested, wrapped up in this. He said,
money goes through me.
If it's money, it goes through me.
Money goes through me. Now, here is hookers
and drugs, you use the assistant coach. Money goes through me.
I just always thought he can't do it all.
I got to skim.
That it's surprising that there is money being transacted in college athletics is not surprising, but I always thought that the coaches, particularly at that level, were smart enough to wall themselves off with a plausible deniability. Yeah. Like, why would you say that?
So,
I mean, that Patino always
got away with your defense.
Calipari was the same way. My assistant paid him all this money. I don't know anything. I mean, you know, it was always...
There has been nobody, ever since the original Yahoo story on Thursday, there has been no coach who has said anything other than, no, I don't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm confident that we have observed all the rules. Every coach from Izzo to whomever, to Krzyzewski, to everybody. No, I don't know anything about this. No, I don't know Andy Miller. That's a lie. They all know Andy Miller. Andy Miller's job is to know all these people. He's the agent. I don't believe for a second that they don't know Andy Miller. But to get back to Sean Miller for a second, and I am not a lawyer, and nobody here, to my knowledge, is a lawyer, but I think if this was an NCAA wiretap, and I don't even know if they have the power to do that, but if you were a member of the NCAA, if you were the University of Arizona, and somebody leaked this story, I think you could go to the NCAA and demand to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
You're a member. You demand to hear this. You can demand of the FBI anything you want, and they will tell you to pound sand.
I believe they this is the FBI, though, Tone.
This is the FBI.
Yeah. I'm almost sure.
It is.
The Bureau.
So you can't get anything. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Sean Miller and Arizona, they're all hung out to dry. Now, what is interesting to me is the kid played.
Yeah.
The kid played against Oregon. They lost the game. The kid played. Sean Miller sat out the game. Can somebody... What... I guess if you play the kid because you're saying, well, what's the difference? If he's ineligible, they're taking away all our victories anyway. What do you make of that?
So the sitting out of the game, Sean Miller, my understanding, sort of, well, it was presented as Sean Miller saying, look, I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah,
don't
want to
be a distraction. I'm sure that...
But I don't know this guy, and I didn't do it.
I'm sure that is a decision that was helped. I don't, you know, a D1 advised coach at a high level alpha like that doesn't strike me as a guy. It's like, hey, you know what? I think I'll just lay back in the hot, tall weeds on
they
this one.
They played the kid.
Yep.
What do you make of that? Every kid, well, every kid named who's still in college played.
Well, because I think what they were shielding Miller from was all the questions at the post-game press conference. Mm-hmm. The kids don't get drilled with that stuff. So at this point, it's just sort of an accusation and...
How about if you, Tom Izzo, good weekend for Tom Izzo, yet another thing. His best player allegedly got money. This is on top of all the things with Larry Nassar and on top of the accusation that his assistant coach was involved in sexual assault.
And I'm sure you've heard this, but I mean, I think this investigation that has now got Sean Miller and Louisville is... I mean, this is not the end. This is kind of the... Everything you read is that it is a expansive investigation.
Why is the FBI...
doing this?
They could have done this for 50 years.
Should be investigating Hillary and Uranium One.
So, no, but what seems clear to me is that something was given to the FBI that they could not say, I can't investigate this. Yeah. And it just led down this path. Yeah. I don't think they're after players. I don't think they're after coaches.
No, but there's more. This is Appalachia. They're going to get all the families with this thing because it's rampant.
Yes.
I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
they're after the bribes. But the bribes of players? It's got to be bigger, doesn't it?
Well,
doesn't it have to be bigger?
Well, the corruption of an entire college athletic
system. It's been that way for 50 years.
I think it's because they're going to try and get gambling. So they got to clean everything out before they get gambling. If the government votes that, okay, sports gambling is legal, they got to clean all this stuff up before it happens.
The most amazing thing I read in the whole Louisville stuff was they had a contract, I believe, with Adidas that paid the school $40 million a year, of which Rick Pitino got 90%. Every single year.
Well, okay, well,
90? Every single year.
The,
90%.
The most amazing thing I read about the Sean Miller stuff.
Long Island boy did well.
Yeah. Was that Sean Miller's contract stipulates if he is fired with cause,
get more.
He gets twice as much if he's fired without cause.
Now, why not shoot the AD?
Let's just role play a second.
Let's say
you're the University of Arizona and I'm Sean Miller's agent. We're negotiating the contract. And I say, you know what? If you fire him for good reason, I think I want him to get twice as much as if you fire him without reason.
That?
Don't you say, like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah,
what
does that mean?
Is that
there something we need to know?
Totally oh, my crazy. God. What kind of, when have you heard a deal like
so
that?
So is he, what do we think? I mean, he is one if of the top if guys. Is, I mean,
absolutely.
Like, you know,
top 10 coach.
Okay.
Best coach to never make the final four.
Before Mark Turgeon was hired, Sean Miller was also reportedly available, and
Maryland
and
turned him down.
Apparently, in the running for the Maryland job, wanted the Maryland job, and what was, I don't want to say reported. I guess the proper room would be what was rumored by people I would say in the know, but not necessarily reporters and such, was that Sean Miller wanted to know that he would have the ability to sort of work in gray areas a little bit. And the university at the time, which is interesting in light of the Diamond Stone thing, but
yes,
the university at the time basically said, no, we're not doing that here.
Well, didn't Turgeon then bring in the AAU guy from Kansas State?
Yeah.
And then he had to leave the Michael Beasley guy.
If you want to win.
Hill. Yeah.
God bless my friend Gary Williams.
Yeah.
But I mean, these days, if you want to win, it's very hard to win without playing footsie with AAU basketball, because that's where all the players are. I don't know how you do it. If this is true about Sean Miller, he's out. He's out.
I mean if he is out on tape saying he's the out money goes through me, it's kind of problematic. Yeah.
Is he out and gone forever?
No, nobody's ever gone forever.
But won't they have that with cause thing?
Yes, you got to show cause why you want to hire him. Yeah. All right, we'll get out of here on this. Oh. Michael Wilbon will join us when we return. Do we have reads today?
Oh, sure.
Give me one of the reads. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hold on 1 second. The professional operation I'm doing here, kids.
That was
tight. Really bad.
Reset the sign.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace ad. This is what Michael, you, right, Michael? You use the Squarespace to create a beautiful website, to turn your cool idea into a new website, to showcase your work, to blog or publish content, to sell products and services of all kinds, to promote your physical or online business, to announce an upcoming event or special project, and more. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online. The ability to customize look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything optimized from mobile right out of the box. It's a new way to buy domains and choose for over 200 extensions. As I've said many times, every word I have just read, I do not understand.
You know it's English, but
every
beyond that.
Every single word. Analytics that help you grow in real time, built-in search engine optimization. Don't know what that means. Free and secure hosting. Nothing to patch or upgrade ever. So not even a tire. 24/7 award-winning customer support. We're encouraging folks to make it. Make it yourself. If you know how to do it, easily create a website by yourself, make it stand out, with a beautiful website. Adam, do you have your own website? Do you know how to do this?
I do. Yeah, no.
You don't know how to do it. You have somebody do it for you.
I point. People. I point.
Yeah. The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. And you can go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you are ready to launch, if you use the promo code Tony, you will save 10% off your first purchase of a website domain. 10%. Promo code Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Dear Mr. Tony, Rob Dundon here with a new submission from the boys of Crooked Coast. This is called Fall Asleep from our album Put the Night On. Thanks as always for playing our stuff, and feel free to use it as play-in music the next time you have Brian Polian on to discuss Notre Dame football, Falmouth, Massachusetts, or lobster rolls at the landfall. We look forward to continue to provide you with more jukebox-worthy music. Maybe a jingle in the future. Sincerely, Luke, John, Ben, and Charles. That's really good. Yeah. Very happy with that. Michael Wilbon joins us now from California at the preposterously early hour of 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock here, 5 o'clock there. I'll start with this because we did the open on this, and I'm sort of at a loss to understand what this means. The Sean Miller stuff that we didn't know about when we taped on Friday. This is a stunner. If this is true, and Mark Schlabaugh worked with us, he's pretty good, right? We think Schlabaugh is pretty good.
Is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
If this is true, and they have him on tape, that's got to be the end of him at Arizona, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I would think so. That was a stunner. You know, Tony, in talking to coaches over the weekend, and I'm talking NBA coaches now, but you know what? A lot of those guys cut their teeth in college basketball, and they all played college basketball. The one thing they said was the thing that cannot be tolerated is a coach being involved in a payment to a player. And most of them, and you know, this obviously hit close to home for Steve Kerr, who I was with minutes after he learned the news on Saturday.
He's an Arizona grad.
Friday. Yeah. Arizona grad. And Steve Kerr just said, that is my school. I love my school. I don't know what else to say. And Steve talked at length. We talked at length about being able to, college students being able to monetize. Even, and Steve was not, he was not in favor of necessarily
the NCAA paying players. He said, but when players can monetize their images, why would we stop this? Why can't there be an Olympic model? There's got to be an answer. But Tony, again, every coach I've talked to, stop. When it comes to the notion of a coach paying a player, that's when they just shake their heads. And they all say the same thing. You can't know what's going on with the agent. You can't know. First of all, I didn't even know it was completely legal if the coaches are accurate in this, and I think they are. A player can talk to an agent, can sit and have dinner with an agent, but if the agent pays for it, it's an illegal benefit. Well, what player, what college kid is going to pay for dinner with an agent? That's not going to happen. Or parents, or any of that.
Which is why but they also know they probably shouldn't do this. And yet,
I guess they do. I don't know.
Well, here's my question. And you, I think you might know this more than I, because you run in basketball circles. I don't believe a single coach who says, I don't know who Andy Miller is, I've never met him. I don't believe that. I believe these agents know everybody.
Well, they told me the agents know everybody, but it doesn't mean that they've met him. Listen, when agents they might approach some coaches who are brazen enough, if we are to believe the reports at Arizona, brazen enough. But the agents and the shoe companies, they approach the kid. They approach who's close to the kid.
Right.
They don't have to approach the coach. As a matter of fact, they'd rather not approach the coach. You approach the kid. You approach the kid, the people who are close to him, the parents. And we were talking about, in some cases, parents who are on the make. We're talking about, in the other cases,
sure,
parents who are impoverished.
Sure.
They say, yes,
sure,
I'll take that flight. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
So they don't have to deal with the coach. That's not part of the usual program. But, of course, the story out of Arizona is just unbelievably unusual. And, Tony, here's what I don't understand. Who's paying the guy? A head coach, even in college basketball, there's not – so Mike Krzyzewski, Cal, they make a ton of money. $100,000 is $200,000 after taxes. What of your earnings?
It's nothing for a coach.
What coach is going to pay $200,000? You know, coaches aren't going to put out – $200,000 of their own money. There's no chance.
Isn't it presumably? I mean, I don't. I just know that in the past it has been major donors to either the program or the school. I mean, that's in the past when people have gotten caught up in it. It's been some major donor says, but it's not. Mike's right.
It's
not. I mean, $100K is not.
You lose your job. You're losing a $5 million a year job for that. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it.
You're not going to give up that percentage of your own income.
No.
So I still have doubts about the amounts. Tony, I don't believe most of these stories about the amounts. I do believe the dinners, the loans, the thousand flights for family. I do believe all that stuff. I do not believe that. First of all, look, I am a booster. All right, I'm a trustee and a guy who's close to a program. I can't imagine, in a rich school, let's be honest about it, I can't imagine somebody in my circle in that way, in that context, ponying up $100,000. And in the case of Ayton, we're talking about a guy who you know is going to stay 1 year. Yeah. So you're going to give up $100,000 for 1 year? Really? Like rich people aren't smarter than that? How do they become rich? They're smarter than that with their money. I have doubts about some of these things that are reported. Again, I don't have any doubts about the kinds of inducement that affect parents and guys who are in the player's influence.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, I got to hear more about this. Was Sean Miller going to come up with this money? I can't imagine that. Boosters in Arizona going to pay, like, what? Me get 10 of them to pay $10,000? Okay, maybe.
I would assume it was the agents that were going to do it in return for a promise that the kid would sign.
Exactly. And
that's what I assume.
It sounds like loans on the front end. Because $100, $100,000 is nothing for the agent to recoup when the player turns pro. Nothing for that guy. Or the shoe companies. So I think it rests there. But why the coach would get involved? So when you ask me, Tony, do coaches know all this? No.
Okay.
They don't have to.
All right. I mean, it's remarkable to me. One of the other things that it says, and it's a sidebar story, is if all these things are true, the NCAA is even a bigger joke than we think it is. Because this is like an internal investigation where you know nothing is going to be found. The NCAA does not want to punish itself.
It's a waste of time.
Yes, it is.
It's a waste of time. It is. Look. The NCAA has no power of subpoena.
What do they got?
They got nothing.
All right. Let me shift gears. I'm not sure how you feel about this. I guess I'll talk about this a little bit later, but I want to get your input on it. The Olympics have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make a huge impression on me. How about you?
Whatever impression they made on you, they made less on me.
Yeah, you didn't.
You know, I just didn't consume them. There were a couple of people I watched. I watched Schifrin race once or twice. I watched Lindsey Vonn
me too.
Race twice.
Yeah.
The hockey doesn't make a dent. I watched a little bit of the women's game between Canada and the U.S., but nothing leading up to it. The men's hockey is a waste of time relative to what the Olympics had since 1998. With the NHL players and the league taking time off, which it doesn't want to do.
Which I understand.
Other than that, Tony, I it made no dent with me, which is surprising considering I've been to 3 Winter Olympics in person. I loved covering it. I loved being there. I liked the competitions. And I just didn't – we reached a place in time. And I don't know how much of that was the time delay. You know, the difference between
that's
the
what I wrote down, that you never really knew what was live and what wasn't live. And I never, ever really got a sense that I was there. And that's important, I think, when you're watching something, that you're invested in it. Yes. And I never had that. I didn't.
In live events, you have to be. But Tony, I don't know that it was – like, I didn't watch much more in Vancouver. And that's, you know, simply what –
that's closer.
Coast time.
Yeah.
So I just think for me – the Winter Olympics are now off the table. I can't even.
By the way,
as much time.
This is the oddest thing. The next Olympics, the Summer Olympics, are in Tokyo.
Yep.
And the next Winter Olympics are in Beijing. That's 3 Asian cities with these time zone differentials for the United States. 3 in a row. Mike, I don't ever remember the same continent getting the Olympics 3 times in a row. I don't remember that. Do you?
I don't think so, Tony. I was thinking back to...
They move it.
Well, it definitely didn't happen when it was every 4 years.
They move this stuff around.
Right. They do move it around. Well, I mean, but now with demographic changes and population changes and just the wealth in Asia, I agree with your memory. Mine is the same on that, but we're talking about...
You're going to get...
a different world.
If time zones are bothersome in 1, they're going to be bothersome in 3.
It's bothersome to one set of people.
Right.
I don't know how much American eyeballs drive the decision-making anymore. Maybe they shouldn't.
All right.
I thought the next Olympics were in Dundalk. Is that not right?
Not in Dundalk, no.
Beautiful there.
They came in second. You had no game at all in Golden State. You had no game to watch, right?
Well, no, but there was the story, Tony, was interesting because the game was a game for 3 quarters, and then Golden State scored 30 points in 8 minutes.
Yeah, they can do that.
8 minutes, 30. They went on a 21-1 run, and what was a compelling game that looked like it was going to come down the wire was suddenly over. It went from a 4-point game to 35. I mean, in an instant.
They're the only team in the league that can do that. The only team.
Yeah. But, Houston.
Maybe Houston. Maybe Houston can do that.
Houston can probably, at least in the regular season, do everything Golden State can do. But, Tony, the reason why it was a fascinating night is because you wanted to see what OKC had already beaten Golden State twice by an average.
Beat them bad.
Point.
Yeah.
So you wanted to see what happened when the Warriors were paying attention and really motivated. I told you last week the worst thing you could do was judge any team, good or bad, based on the week of the All-Star game because most teams just wanted to limp to the finish and get to the break. And that brings me to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, go ahead on that. They've lost twice at home.
Yeah, they've lost twice. They'll lose a lot more. And because I'm not so sure how they're going to put that together in that period of time. So they were so amped to play last week that, you know, they just crushed 4 teams. They come back, they lose to the Wizards, they lose again last night. They didn't look particularly good. And I tell you what, Tony, the Wizards, you know, for starting as late as they got going, and I'm doing an essay on this today, which I'm going to track for SportsCenter. I mean, I've been walking in locker rooms a lot in the last 2 months, and before the first of those 2 months, all I got from veteran players and coaches who know I live in Washington is, what the hell are the Wizards doing? And people thought the Wizards were the biggest underachiever of the season, almost universally. But now, 9-3 since John Wall went out. And here's the stat.
What does that tell you? Look at their assists.
Here's the stat. Yes. the Wizards are number one in the league in assists the last
35 assists last night on 46 made baskets.
Unbelievable.
What does that tell you about John Wall?
No, it tells me about the team. What Tony, what they have to do, and look, they only have one guy who can put the ball on the floor right now, and that's Bradley Beal. So what they have to do is play differently. Bodies and the ball are moving at a rate we haven't seen with this team. That's what it tells me. They are, first of all, the Wizards in the best of times, you know, their concentration, they're like my nine-year-old son. They just don't, they can't sustain concentration. At least I hear that from opposing players. So now they're having to play with a certain detail and attention to it. And for the most part, overwhelming, they didn't do it against Charlotte, but they are doing that. Now, how long can they sustain it without John Wall? I don't know. I know this. For people who think they can win without John Wall, that's delusional. They can't. They're not going to. And when I say win, I mean in the playoffs. They have to have John Wall.
Can I ask you a question?
When Wall comes back, how are they going to be able to play this new way continuously?
They're not going to be able to because he's a dominating player. Let me ask this a serious question. And that's not about this year, because I agree with you. They cannot win playoff series without John Wall this year. Would you trade John Wall even up for Boogie Cousins if you were the Washington Wizards?
No.
Why?
Because he's got the Achilles problem, Tony. People come back from ACLs, but they haven't successfully come back in the same way.
If you could get a player on the level of Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, whoever is out there, would you consider trading John Wall for that kind of player now that you see what your team can do?
If I saw them win, first of all, I hope this is not going to happen. I hope John comes back. So if they won a playoff series without him, I might consider it.
Yeah.
A Boogie, I'm not doing an Achilles guy.
Okay.
I'm not. I mean, we
okay,
seen,
but if we went back in time before he injured himself, ACL, you know.
I mean, maybe I consider it. But the thing I'd want about Boogie Cousins, I'd want him with John Wall. That's part of what you want. And that's part of what I'm told that some discussions took place about that with New Orleans. Obviously, it's not going to take place now.
No.
But Tony, I understand the dilemma you're addressing. You're saying this is a tough one because you're seeing a style of play. 12 games is not a tiny sample. It's not like 4-1.
No, it's not.
But it's not like, you know, it's not like a 25-game sample. We could get a 20-game sample, and that's a fourth of the season. And then what are you deciding? But I'll tell you what, Tony. If the Wizards here should be the Wizards' real incentive. They beat Toronto. You know, they've beaten them 2 out of 3 this season. They won in Toronto. It's just a style situation. They play Toronto as well as anybody. They beat Boston. And I've been with the Celtics recently, and guys have said to me, man, the Wizards give us fits. They beat Cleveland. Tony, the Wizards have beat Houston. The problem is, and they played Golden State to a 3-point game. They should have won that game. The thing for the Wizards is, this is a year in which the East is wide open. There is no reason the Wizards can't. And you know, I don't trust Cleveland yet. I know, you know, you declare Cleveland
yes,
you know,
champions,
pound and whole, and
champions.
I told you going into the All-Star break, I don't believe it. Not
I know,
yet.
I know what you
they
said.
They may be that, but the Wizards have every incentive, Tony, to really max out this year. If John gets back in that lineup, you know, with some games in the regular season left, and again, they have to play this way. They cannot go back to the other style of play because I don't think anybody believes that's going to win.
Okay. All right. Well, I see you later. Are you out all week?
No, I'm out all week, Tony. I'm going to stay west. I'm going to go to Arizona. I've got a retreat, a Northwestern function board members.
A retreat?
I think the Arizona situation will come up.
A retreat? What does that mean?
A retreat.
You just rich guys lay around and play golf.
Yeah.
That's all
well,
that
no,
is.
No, they're sitting around a lot of meetings. And you know,
There'll be some golf. Come on.
But that's it. And then
rich
I'm
guys.
Staying and playing golf. And that'll be on Saturday and Sunday. So,
all right, goodbye.
No, it's L.A. today and tomorrow. You won't see me.
All right, goodbye. Talk to you soon. All Michael right, Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Nigel will do the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
My name is Asa Daniels. I represent the Long Island-born, North Carolina-based band Baked Goods. Five-piece band playing the stylings of alternative pop, jazz, rock, and funk. We've grown our reputation for live shows. We have toured all over the East. Recently, we went back into the studio to record a new album of Vivid Hallucination with James Meslin of Dream Theater and Richie Cannata from Billy the Billy Joel Band. Big fan of the podcast, tuning in since the days of After School that were early dinner and PTI. Furthermore, you actually wrote an article on my father, David Lieberman, when he was playing basketball at Baldwin High School in 1971. Yeah, I remember Baldwin High School. I know how to get there. I believe our new single, Uptight, would fit well on your podcast. It would be a huge thrill for us to be included. That's really nice. This is Asa and the Baked Goods family. Music that comes into this show is played in its entirety at the end of the podcast. Michael, if people like Baked Goods want to submit their stuff, how do they do it?
As always, please send your music into the show, jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And there was a request from somebody that you know to buy an umbrella, a Tell Michael umbrella. Are we still selling
those?
Tell
yes, Michael. Yes, they're almost sold out, I believe. But yes, they're still available. And if you live in the Mid-Atlantic area with this rain,
yeah,
you could certainly use an umbrella.
And we have winter hats. Because we are going to get another shot of winter. What is Chris right? Is that
yes.
What?
The hats are still available along with our usual t-shirts and hats.
And it's called?
Shop.TonyKornheiserShow.com.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Fantastic.
There is the button off of the main show website.
Okay. Oh, I like it. Keep the chatter going, koozie.
Do we have those
too?
Yeah,
that interests me.
No.
I'm also buying a Mr. Dr. Porthauser shirt. That's pretty nice.
I just think that there should be a plain t-shirt.
We need a Hoff-Waff.
A plain t-shirt without any markings at all, except over here on the left side, Hoff-Waff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all. Just Hoff-Waff.
Yeah, like chevrons.
Hoff-Waff is so great.
There you go.
What do you got? You got news, Nigel?
There is lots of news to cover, but of course, there's only one way to begin this newscast. We will take you back to this past Saturday at the Dr. Byerly Court.
We lost again.
If they just played one played one half of basketball, you would have come away a winner.
We lost to Hartford.
Yeah, 29-28 at halftime, 67-57 the final. And that drops the Bearcats now to 11-19 overall and just 2-13 in the vaunted American East.
So we have one more game in the vaunted American East. And I think are we now mathematically eliminated from the America East tournament?
Yeah. Correct.
Wow. Yeah, because you've lost to Maine, I think, both times.
Yes.
And even if you win this last game.
So if this game doesn't matter at all, I would just say play kids in fraternities.
Totally.
Suit them up and play
them. And that game will be tomorrow night in Albany. And will you be traveling up there for that?
No.
Albany is beautiful this time of year.
Actually, it's cold. It's very cold. Albany's nice.
It is nice.
Albany, for people who've never been to Albany... Albany, Troy, Schenectady,
Rome.
You've played there, right?
I have. I love Albany because we used to camp on Lake George.
Yeah,
and we would leave Long Island and drive up. And I remember my father vividly saying, "We are not peeing till Albany."
Yes.
So I loved getting there.
Yeah,
they should put that on. I should put that on some kind of city motto.
Some of the great novels in American modern novel writing by William Kennedy are set in Albany,
mm-hmm.
like Ironwood.
Great Gatsby.
You know, is that set in Albany? No, it's not set on Long Island.
Intended.
So where did you stay in Lake George? Did you actually camp out?
On the island.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got up. You ever see Italians camp? We're pulling our boat with a Cadillac. I'm not making it up. We had a 77 Fleetwood Brougham up
so
the thruway. There's
big
all kinds
beautiful.
Of pickup trucks. Yeah. And there's my father yelling at Canadians. Go, you're going to launch that thing or what? So we would camp on the island. My mother is hanging like cheese and salami in the trees.
So good.
Like it's a deli window.
So good.
Yeah.
And they would come up to visit because the family comes up. That's the big vacation every year.
Yeah.
And my uncles, they're fishing off the dock in three-piece suits. They're like, "Hey, I hope I don't catch your witness." I mean, it just these gindaloons on an island. That's what we're
doing. I've been to Lake George. I've stayed at the Montcalm Hotel in Lake George.
Yeah, the Adirondack.
Was the first time I ever was served as a side dish. It was cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with cottage cheese in Lake George, New York.
They give you cottage
Do you remember the spin art as a kid in Lake George?
What's that?
Lake George is very touristy in the summer. Out on the street, there would be a guy with pots of four different colors, primary colors. And you would put a piece of paper down, and you'd spin this stuff around. Mm-hmm. The colors would drip down in unimaginable shapes and colors
like
they would mix.
Like a variation of tie-dye.
And then they would put it in a frame.
Yeah,
and
cool.
For the equivalent now of $5, you had pieces
you
of art that you made.
Take it, throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
You know who lives in Lake George? Barry Melrose.
Did not know that.
Yeah, lives in Lake George. And doesn't commute, but drives to Bristol. It's not that far. It's about a 3-hour drive to Bristol from like
really?
Towards three and a half.
Did
I don't
know.
Think
I
it's
clearly
that far.
Have no
it's
idea.
Five
where
hours
it is.
From Huntington, where I grew up.
Yeah.
So it was a 5-hour drive.
You know, so it's really, it's okay. All right, what do we got?
I just want to put a final wrap on the Olympics. I know you spoke about it earlier, but this is a very proud moment for me specifically.
Britain's win.
Britain set a record, a country record, for most medals in the Winter Olympics. They won 5, 1 gold and 4 bronze. So I'm very proud of my
country.
Sounds
like a record for that country.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because other countries have had more.
Declining empire.
Oh, we're still very much the empire to be feared.
Declining empire.
Yeah. Congrats.
Once great land.
When ships had sails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lord Nelson.
Back to college basketball. Virginia. This is an interesting score.
Did you see what Pitt got in the first half?
They had Pitt no points. To a touchdown. 30-7.
But they had one field goal.
I thought
that's a major college. 1 for 32, and they had 7 points in the half.
They
do you remember when Georgetown beat Kentucky in a regional game, and it was a regional final in the NCAAs, and at the first half was like 42-10, something like that.
Those are the days.
7 points.
Seven.
This Pitt. This is a real school.
Pitt is now, by the way, Jamie Dixon is great as a coach, because as soon as he left, Pitt was great.
They were great.
0-17 so far in the ACC.
This is terrible.
Nitpicking.
That is bad for the head coach.
Maybe it's because they don't belong there.
That's bad for the head coach.
Villanova loses. They've lost a few games recently. They're now 25-4. They
like Jay Wright a lot.
They lose to Creighton.
Yeah, they lose to Creighton. I watched that game, losing OT. Yep. Get to OT, lose an OT. Yeah.
And Kansas was a winner in a nice game over Texas Tech, 74-72.
Nice game.
Gonzaga winner. Yeah, and Auburn lost.
Well, you didn't mention Houston had a crazy half, too.
They scored about 70 points.
62-19, maybe.
Unbelievable amount of points.
Are you just ignoring the Georgetown game?
The Hoyas lose.
Hoyas lose. Hoyas lose.
Top 50 only.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we lost.
Yeah.
Yes, the final. You were at that game, were you not?
Nope. I only go to one game a year, and I went to the Xavier game. I did not attend the Providence game.
74-69, the final there. Take you to golf. Justin Thomas is your winner of the Honda Classic in a playoff.
Now, I watched a lot of this. And I need Michael to because Michael watched a lot of this too, although in different houses.
I watched more than you.
Yeah,
he
didn't
come
see
to your
my
house?
Son over the weekend. No, I didn't see him over the weekend.
I saw Bootsy.
At the end, you saw Bootsy?
I was out in the walking through the streets. I ran into Michael.
This is awkward.
Did you touch Bootsy?
Wait, I ran into him in real life.
I like to grab his toe. It makes him smile.
Give him a little crying.
He's a cute kid.
Yes, he is a cute kid. I don't really know because I haven't seen him in a while.
We tried to cross the other side of the street.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in quite some time.
He's coming.
I watched a lot of the golf to see Tiger, and we can talk about Tiger. I thought Tiger had Tiger blew up, had some hiccups in the bear trap on a par 3 and a par 4, was 3 over. He was never really in contention. He was minus 3 at one point, but he was never really in contention. He bogeyed number 9, which made him minus 2, and he wasn't going to post. It doesn't really matter. He said afterwards he felt very happy about the way he played. He really he thought he had control of the ball. But at the end of the tournament, a guy named Luke List is tied with Justin Thomas. Luke List was, a fine player and came back. He blew up early and he put himself back in contention. Justin Thomas on 18. Luke List, it's a par 5. Everybody's birdieing it. Luke List is on in 2. He's got an eagle putt. Justin Thomas is in the bad rough on the right-hand side and has to just chip out. He's got 117 to the green. The guy's on the green in 2. Justin Thomas attempting his third shot. This is where he's going to lose the tournament. He's going to get on the green, but he's not going to birdie the hole. The other guy's going to birdie the hole. Justin Thomas puts a wedge 18 inches.
These guys are so
18 inches from 117 yards. You want to explain that?
Yeah. I think you need to remember that Justin Thomas led the PGA Tour in proximity to the hole from 50 to 125 yards last year.
Was player of the year.
Yes. So this is a yardage that he is clearly laying up with this exact number in mind. And if you look at where the pin was on Sunday, it's behind the midline towards the back portion. And he leaves himself a full yardage. And if you looked at the pin, as I said to you last night on the phone, there's just enough breeze that it takes a lot of the spin off. So a lot of times players might have to land maybe 5 yards behind, expecting that spin, and maybe it takes a slope and it goes further and further away from the hole. This actually released. So he flew it exactly, just below pin high.
Fantastic, his shot.
But that shows you the thought process into how a player of his caliber is going to deconstruct a hole to leave him one of his strengths.
It was fabulous. And then the next time out, Luke List put it in bad stuff and hit a shot way left, and he was done. He was done. Justin Thomas birdied it again.
But Justin Thomas did not. He took a wood out to take on going for the green in two when the other guy looked like he might not even make par. And he ended up having a birdie look.
I don't know why he did that.
He didn't waste any time at all.
Just buried
it. Hit a wood. And he thought he hit it in the water at first.
And it was a great. And here's what was true. And you don't get this when you watch television. But it was 6:30 at that point. So it's pitch black here. Now, I know that that's south. And I know they get more light. But they had about 40 seconds of light left.
They were running out big time. Yeah. I mean, they can iris up the cameras to trick you.
And so it looks like it's light. It's not
but,
light.
But when List was having his, Van de Veldian moment
there. Yeah,
where's
he going to drop it?
When he's dropping it. And then he got sort of relief from the bleachers there. But so he hit that very high pitch shot. And that shot was actually very telling. You could see in the background the setting sun. I mean, it was dark.
So Justin Thomas has now... He's won eight tournaments.
Seven of his last 31 starts. Seven of 31 starts he's won.
How old is he, Michael? He joins Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth as the only player to eight wins under the age of 25.
No, there's one more. Jack Nicklaus.
Well,
name rings a bell.
Yeah. I was sort of already going ahead.
Those guys in history.
How old is he, Michael?
24.
He's 24. Golly.
It's pretty good.
The real golf news, though, is the pro member down at Seminole. This is the fifth major. So,
I wrote the great Sam Reeves last night because Ian Baker Finch was talking about how they go to Seminole today, a lot of the pros. So I said to the great Sam Reeves, I'm sure you and the great Jack Vardaman will be playing in this. And Sam says, I play with Nick Watney in this. I don't know who Jack plays with. Explain what happens, Michael.
So Jack Vardaman is playing with Spider Miller, who's the, he's a past Ryder or Walker Cup captain. And his pros are Bo Hostler, a young guy, and Denny McCarthy, a local.
He's local
sort
for
of
us.
A local big guy for us in the DMV. And we have Sam Reeves is playing with Adam Scott.
And Nick Watney, right?
And Nick Watney.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's These are awesome. People I know.
Michael
people
Scott.
I revere.
People are joking that there's more official World Golf Rank points in this one event than in whatever tour events this week.
And the president of Seminole?
Mr. Dunn.
The great Jimmy Dunn. Who's he playing with?
He's got a stacked. He's got new member Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
John Rahm. Fitzgerald's probably getting a few too many strokes.
Yes, he is.
And
he's
Smiley Kaufman.
Oh, this is the coolest event in the world, and it's at Seminole. What do you got, Nigel?
We'll take you to my home country, England. A bloke, a 27-year-old tattoo artist from Brighton, by the name, the appropriately enough name, Eli Ink.
He's made that up, right?
I'm thinking that his last name is made up. He's gone to incredible lengths to cover his entire body in black tattoos, repeatedly using several coats of black coloring to permanently blacken his skin. And he didn't just stop with his skin. He did the inside of his lips and, yes, his eyeballs. That's right.
What? Okay.
Now, I will show you a picture.
Yes, this is going to work well
Put
for
it
radio.
On News Channel 8.
So can you see that?
Why? Yeah. Why?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he looks great.
Well, it's funny you ask. I will tell you why. At first he said... Look, in my opinion, the only person who will ever understand my transition properly is me. I don't attempt to describe it to anyone. And then he attempted to describe it. I've always been blown away by art itself. Picasso is a huge child inspiration to me, especially abstract art, but I do like all
Picasso
forms of art.
Picasso used...
Different colors.
Yeah, and he also put it on an easel.
Body art was just the next logical step for me growing up. Ugh. I wanted to look like an abstract character.
His parents
in one of Picasso's
must be so
paintings.
Proud.
Yeah.
He looks like the Grim Reaper.
He really does. And he's, of course, there are risks when you let somebody stick a needle in your eye.
Really?
He says that's the risk you take letting anyone near your eyes. Even trained surgeons can make a mistake. Body modification is a risk.
Why don't you be a respectable artist and cut an ear off? Stop being stupid.
Exactly. So there you go. We wish him well.
It's awful.
Well, maybe not so.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
We will come back with Old Guy. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a new read. This is Masterclass. Masterclass. This is, you sign up for a class online, okay? You sign up, www.masterclass.com/gift. It's a great gift for someone trying to improve their game in basketball, a Steph Curry super fan or an NBA junkie, because Steph Curry is teaching an online masterclass to help you elevate your game. In over 4 hours of movie-quality video lessons, Steph will teach you perfect shooting mechanics, footwork and scoring techniques. Break down specific drills that will make you a better ball handler. Analyze NBA game footage to improve your basketball IQ. This makes an amazing gift for the basketball player or NBA junkie in your life. If not Steph's class, choose from 30 other masters across a wide range of fields such as photography, cooking, writing, film, and many more. And you say, okay, let me give you some of the names.
Yeah, you're going to be
master class.
I've seen some of these.
In cooking, Thomas Keller and Gordon Ramsay teach cooking.
Them.
You've heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
In writing, Aaron Sorkin teaches screenwriting. He's won a small thing we like to call an Oscar in screenwriting, hasn't he?
It's
Didn't he win
good.
That? Bob Woodward. Bob Woodward teaches investigative journalism. James Patterson, famous novelist, mm-hmm. teaches writing. In filmmaking, Ron Howard
Seen
teaches directing.
Yep.
Marty Scorsese teaches filmmaking. In fashion, design, and arts, Annie Leibovitz teaches photography. Helen Mirren and Samuel L. Jackson teach acting.
It's not
Chris
bad.
Chris Christie has a workout video.
Drop it on him. Who's teaching podcasting? Go ahead, read it.
We don't have that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
that's
maybe there's an opening.
Whether
there.
You are pursuing your passion, developing your career, or just looking to learn something new, Masterclass gives you access to the best at their craft so that you can master yours. Interested in more than one class? Check out the All Access Pass. With the new All Access Pass, you can unlock every class from over 30 masters, all for the price of two. Tony Kornheiser Show listener, so you're listening now, you're a listener.
That's right.
Can get the All Access Pass at masterclass.com/Tony. Learn from the best in the world at masterclass.com/Tony. That's masterclass.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Mitch Ryder, 74 today or 73?
73. Okay.
73 years old today. Mitch Ryder, the Detroit Wheels. Mitch Ryder about 5'5". He could bring it, though.
Yes, he could.
He didn't have many songs, but they all sounded pretty much like this. They were big-time drive band stuff. Mitch Ryder. I don't have any critical commentary except that I really liked him.
This was
Shake a Tail Feather was one of his.
Yes. C.C. Ryder didn't do that as well?
Yes, he covered it.
Yeah, this song was originally written by Shorty Long and William Mickey Stevenson. Released in 1964, Mitch Ryder.
You gotta love a guy named Shorty Long.
Right,
yeah, you gotta like that, isn't it?
That can't be his given name.
This was a much bigger, obviously a much bigger hit, this version of it, that Mitch Ryder did just a couple of years later. Peaked at number 4 in the U.S. charts.
Big time song. All right, Adam is here, and so this is a very good time for me to talk about something that sort of presents me in full form of anxiety and pain and stuff like that. I did something on Saturday that I have never before done because it was raining. Because if it was bright out, I would have played golf. I went to an exercise class that my dear friend Tracy Roberts calls Jazzercise, which it's not. There's nothing like that. And afterwards, my trainer, Helen, said, "Why don't you stay for the yoga class?" And I said, "Well, I've never done yoga before in my life." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, just try it, you know." And the instructor's very good. Well, the yoga class had about 30 people. It was very crowded, the yoga class. And the yoga class, there was nobody within 20 years of me. Nobody within 20 years.
A lot of old stuff. And
they were all 90 plus?
No, they were all 30s and 40s.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I could not, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. And I probably should have said no when Helen said, "There's just one thing. There's no talking."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no talking is not good for me. In fact, I realized that yoga was utterly antithetical to who I am. Utterly. Right. 100% antithetical to who I am. The first 5 minutes or so were not hard.
Breathing?
You would just breathe. I breathe normally.
Nailed it.
I know how to do it.
You
I felt
should
do I could
a master do class.
But about, yeah. But about 10 minutes in, I realized I had a mat. I mean, everybody has a mat. When everybody began doing rather complicated stretches, at least I felt they were rather complicated, I noticed, and this is how I knew I was in the wrong spot.
Complicated or challenging?
Challenging.
Okay, okay.
I was the only one with shoes on.
What?
I looked around.
You gotta take them off.
Nobody said take off your shoes. So 10, 15 minutes in when I know I'm the novice here. I quietly and without calling attention to myself, I take off shoes and I take off socks, and now I begin to try and do all of these things.
Take off shirt.
Never take off shirt. The people who are good at this, they're contortionists. That's what they are. They keep parts of their body on the ground and stretch. Yeah. They're like owl. They have owl heads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They everything moves around. I finally learned how to do the downward dog because it was in everything. Mm-hmm. It's you put you're on your hands and your feet and you're sort of arched in the air.
People know that position.
And that gave me a left hamstring problem that will never be solved. I'm in extraordinary pain.
Well, did you start slow?
I did everything slow. I could not get low enough.
Right.
I could not. Thankfully, the instructor who knew that I was new could tell right away. Didn't come over and berate me on any level, but I couldn't do anything that the others were doing until the end. At the end, you lay down and put a blanket over yourself.
Terrific. That you did.
You're good at that.
You try to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But you still can't talk.
So and start there.
After the 10 minutes, then foreign languages are spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking in tongues.
I didn't really understand that.
Namaste, Tom.
And then you congratulate yourself for still being alive.
Yeah. Yep.
It's very anti-yoga.
I just think
you should do yoga.
I have done it. I don't do it anymore, but I have done it. I question the instructor. You're standing there with your shoes on for how long before someone tells
you? 10 to 15 minutes. Nobody told me. I looked around.
But the instructor didn't look around and go, hey, listen, orange guy, take your shoes off.
Right. What's that guy doing?
Yeah.
So, no.
So I don't think you got proper instructions at all. And you, if you start slow enough, you should be able to, you know,
not have that
kind of injury.
I didn't have it then. I woke up with it yesterday and today. I've been sitting on a bag of blueberries for 15 minutes at a time.
Right.
I've done it four different times now, frozen blueberries on my left hamstring in the back, way up high.
Right.
But still, it's killing me. I can't really even walk.
I've done yoga, and not a lot. My wife cajoles me into doing it. And all the center yourself and breathe. I find that very uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't like thinking. I'm not big on introspection.
Why can't you talk?
So I don't.
And why can't you talk?
And then they come over.
What is it? Fishing? I hate fishing because you fish and nobody will allow you to talk.
Yeah. Might scare
the
fish.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's not right.
Stupid. People, I can't spend that time not talking.
Have you ever gone
fish?
Do I fish? No.
I don't fish.
I don't hunt.
Lake George days.
I don't. Italians don't. We don't hunt. We don't, guns aren't used for recreation.
How can you stand not talking?
I stopped doing the yoga. I stopped. This was like my wife got me to go for a little bit. I'm like, this is downward facing, downward spiraling life. I'm not coming back here. I'm not spending my time doing this.
I've had the instructor come over to me and position me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come over and they're like, you're doing it wrong. Tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told Adam beforehand, there was a woman next to me who was conservatively 75 years old and weighed like 100 pounds, and she was doing all the stuff. And so I, of course, think like, well, if this old lady can do it, I can do it. And I was in so much pain that I had legitimate tears like in the corner. Now I cry easily. Right. But in the corners of my eyes.
You still can't watch
it
Old
hurts
Yeller.
So bad. Where the red fern grows gets me every time at the end.
Do you?
I'll take the bullet. I do yoga regularly.
Oh,
and it's
good.
But self-guided, not in classes.
You don't do a class.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like with a video or something on TV. But I don't like to work out with people.
Yeah.
To me, that's weak.
Do you take your shoes
off? I'm sort of more self-motivated. But essentially,
you have your own mat?
So
you seem like the kind.
So I'll tell you what that kind is. If you've ever dealt with 5 years of nerve pain and ended with back surgery, and then your orthopedist has said, unless you want to do this all again, I suggest you start doing yoga.
Yeah.
You'll do yoga.
We were talking about the shoulder because I had an AC separation.
Yeah.
I have a Pilates reformer in my garage because of the wife. So
that'll stretch out.
Yeah, thing is like I didn't like that.
You didn't like that? Nothing happened. Nothing
did you have
happened.
Your shoes on? Did you do? Have you had any instruction? You just wander around through life.
See, I would argue the.
You can't really be left unattended, Kornheiser. You gotta.
I couldn't.
Take
has anyone
note,
seen my shoes?
Who's the guy with the shoes?
So the soreness you're feeling is commensurate with any soreness you would feel if you started a workout for the first time, and the first time you ever picked up weights and whatnot. The next day you were sore. So if you did this again next week, you would be less sore, and then ultimately you wouldn't be sore at all.
Did you find any relief from the anxiety? Was there any kind of mental benefit?
No. You know what was so terrible about it? While I was in position waiting for other people to go to the next position, I just kept counting. Yeah. I just kept counting.
That's your coping mechanism.
I was counting, and I was saying to myself above the counting, when will this end?
Yeah.
When can we talk?
And you were saying,
anyone want to talk? I'm not saying this out loud. Doesn't anyone want to talk to me? Ask me about the Redskins?
Did you try to, hey, can you believe this instructor bit to the person next to you?
No, because that was my trainer,
you
Helen.
You should do.
And Helen was the one who said to me, now you can't talk.
I was
in the deep corner.
Yeah, I did deep in the back. I did a few of these, like it hurts so bad, and you're not even supposed to do that.
Badly.
Like,
now that you're an entrepreneur after Chatter fails, maybe you could start like a yakking yoga, like a talking yoga class.
Well, I've told the story of hot yoga.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so hot yoga.
A friend of mine,
about 5 years ago in conversation, said to me he was taking hot yoga. Because I knew him well,
that's no friend of yours.
I assumed that hot yoga meant yoga with really hot women in the class. Mm-hmm. And then I found out, it's yoga at 115 degrees.
That's right. You cannot leave.
But
they make the rule, you cannot leave.
It makes you not want to talk.
Yeah.
Because it's that hot.
Who invents this stuff?
Now I took a class once. And
a yoga class?
A yoga class. My trainer said, we should try this. Yeah. So I went, there's like 40 people in the class. And I'm the one, because I'm not limber at all. And I'm the one guy, she actually came over and berated me in the middle of the class.
She did?
Yeah, I was like.
Are you not trying?
Yeah, I was like, seriously?
Why are your shoes on?
Yeah, and I did have my shoes on the whole time.
I had a trainer, he was an ex-Army Ranger, and when I was working, he's got me on the treadmill, and I'm briskly walking on the treadmill while I'm curling.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that, and I hit the wall, and I'm like, I got to stop. He goes, you worked through that pain, Ferrara! And I hit stop, and I went, look, we're not storming a machine gun nest.
All right,
I have a double chin on camera. That's all I'm trying to get rid of. We're not taking the beaches of Anzio, so calm down. Yeah.
And plus you're paying him.
Yes, and I'm paying him for this. Stop it.
So, I don't know. I mean,
so you won't go back.
I think you should try.
You started talking about your anxiety. That's why I wanted to get to your anxiety. It didn't help you at all, because I actually did benefit from it.
When they tell me just relax, I can't relax.
No.
Just breathe.
You're surrounded by other people.
Center yourself.
But don't you see the benefit?
I'm task oriented.
Yeah.
I want to do it. I want to finish it. I want to move on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way.
And
but
that's not yoga.
But the counting, your count is a coping mechanism, because my stress and my anxiety comes from a loss of structure. So this is the kind of stuff we do to provide structure. So the counting provides you structure, so you have something to do while you do the yoga.
I just couldn't stay in that position without.
I find it anxiety inducing. I know you're not supposed to, but I find it anxiety inducing because I think of the people judging me for how bad I am at it. Yeah. Like I'm if I could do it like Gary by myself.
But how about the people who are
no one really cares. No one's looking
at
me.
Yeah. No one
think everyone cares.
I knew nobody was looking at me except in the sense that when they turned, because I was in the deep corner, when they turned and faced where I was, I had the highest body profile because I couldn't.
Well, you don't have the flexibility yet. You're just learning it.
You know, so
it's your first day.
I think you should stay with it. I think that flexibility would help you tremendously. You don't want to be one of those 80, 90-year-old people who are all punched and can't move.
I'll be at Ingleside.
You're not going to make 90.
And sitting around.
Doing armchair aerobics.
Anyway. I wanted to mention one thing about the Olympics, and we'll get out of here on the Olympic thing. That it didn't, you know, Adam, did it do much for you? Did you?
No, I fell asleep when curling was on.
Curling was fine, but it was on every day. Yeah. And I stopped watching it. I thought that. Is there some person that stood out? Is there a name? Is there someone where you said, this person is the Olympics for me?
Johnny
Weir.
No, okay, but he's common sense.
But no, not in terms of...
The Czech skier that won in snowboarding.
But you don't know what she looks like.
No,
you don't
that's
know
true.
What she, Ledecky, no. You don't,
yeah, I mean, there are a few of those stories.
I thought the person that took the biggest hit, who should have been the most important person in the games, took the biggest hit was Shaun White.
Because the story popped.
That's right. He was done, and he was shunned, and he was never on television again.
Yep.
And he probably 3 days in went, what happened to me?
Right. He totally botched his response to like gossip. And he had to apologize for
and
that.
And he was cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I think the best story that no one knows is the curling guy who basically they threw off the team because he sucked.
Right.
Twice. Twice they
That's
did
the guy
nothing.
Named John Schuster.
Yes.
I went to high school with John Schuster, not this John
And then
Schuster.
He basically organized his own rogue team outside of the
And they, and they qualified.
They qualified and he won the gold medal. So, but it's curling. I mean, you know, unless it's figure skating or downhill skiing, it's very
curling
hard.
Is just, it's just... It's shuffleboard on ice.
It appears to be a sport you could do while
drinking. I mean, that's my people have been doing that in Miami for 100 years.
No, that's what it looks like.
It's just not on ice. Uh-huh. They got a drink in their hand, but it's not on ice. Yep. It can't be that hard.
It's just a good story, but it's
it doesn't
not,
seem
it
like doesn't, a workout no. either.
It just doesn't reach the – it doesn't have the profile.
All right, let's get out of here. Are we done?
You don't have
We're
the done. Depth.
And we'll have emails and jingles when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's not in the way you visit chatter. It's not in the way you buy my swag. It's not in the way I like bowling alley fries. Or on the small chance I'll make Wilbon surprised. There's only one reason that I'm doing this show every day. Box of that. Send me a great big box of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Box of that. I'll take a great big box of that.
The great Joe Arrow, boys and girls.
Well done, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Before we get into the mailbag, let me say thank you to Michael Wilbon for coming on with us, to Adam Ferrara for sitting in, which is nice. I also like to thank the sponsors today, Squarespace and Masterclass. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Alex Lau in New York City, there's this great place in Florida called Tamarack that you can move to. I hear the single-story living is phenomenal. The nutmeg is cheap, and they just got wind of how much fun wearing a suit and singing religious hymns by the piano can be.
Oh, that's a doozy.
Tamarack. Boy, that's. I would go in there, take a 20, slam it down, and say, turn the air conditioning
Look at
on.
You now.
Mike from Burke, Virginia. For once, I write to praise Saliza, not to bury him, kind of.
Wait, Mike from Burke, Virginia?
During your extended lament on Thursday about the aging process and how close to the grave you are, Chris jumped in with, I am old, I am old, I will wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled, and was completely ignored. Normally a proper response, but he was close with his reference to Eliot's love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, although you as an English major would have known had you been listening rather than talking that it's I grow old. I grow old.
I do what I can.
Jim Flynn, Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, a friend of mine has a son and a daughter-in-law who are overachieving millennials. They took him out to play golf last year and asked him about his retirement savings. He appreciated their concern until they explained that they wanted to make sure dad wasn't a burden to them when he got old. So your kids aren't so bad after all. From Neil in Rockville, though, I was quite impressed with the decor of the newly remodeled men's room, particularly those fancy high-tech waterless urinals. Yes,
fantastic.
That's Dan Kelly,
really?
Right?
Yeah. I love those.
Right? From the Somerville Corporation, I believe. I did notice that you have yet to begin decorating, Chatter, for Purim, which is rapidly approaching next week. Remember, unlike Valentine's Day and other holidays on the Goyim calendar, Purim can sneak up on you, and the last thing you want to have happen is your entire family not home for Purim. I had no idea it was this early. Easter is tremendously early this year.
Yeah.
Easter's April 1.
Yep.
That's really early. John Fitzpatrick writes, he writes? I'm deeply disappointed by the poor quality of the new listener survey. I think you've missed some real opportunities to collect meaningful data from the obsessive derelicts who comprise your audience. First, the list accompanying the question, what country do you live in, does not include Gabukistan. Second, the question ends in a preposition, Mr. Dr. English Major. C, how many episodes of the show have I listened to? I was told there would be no math. Lastly, the list, do you buy or use any of these products, does not mention Sinkside Coffee Ice Cream. And sixth, the survey asks neither, is your mother a prostitute, nor what are we even doing out here, man? Hashtag fail, my man. P.S. is Reginald moonlighting as the survey monkey.
Come on,
do that. Matt Bear in Charlotte, North Carolina. Before you move in with Chan and Moni, it's imperative that Michael and Liz tell them some of your requirements. Two bathrobes, transportation to PTI for every outing so you can proceed from there, a pre-opened creamer bottle, a shower that requires no laying down, a worker man on staff to turn a leaf blower on in the background whenever you speak. By the way, when people come in here, and I'm here on weekends, and they say they listen to the show, and I say, well, come see the studio. When I turn on the leaf blowers, the little toy leaf, they're so excited.
Yeah, those leaf blowers are great.
This here is the thing. This excites them the most.
Yeah.
They can't believe it's an actual duck.
Yeah.
And it is.
Like Pavlov's listener.
It's they're very excited. Very excited.
Good advice.
David Brown, Charlottesville, Virginia. When you read this email on air, please be sure to read it in your own natural voice. I don't want it to sound scripted or rehearsed. Feel free to use humor, but please do not denigrate me, the content of the email, or my writing style. Also, you may interject your own personal experience with my previous emails, but make sure that any anecdotes, parables, or tangential storylines do not preclude you from reading the entire text of this email in an authentically enthusiastic manner. In fact, why don't you stick to the script, Grandpa? And please ask Michael to leave the room when you read it. Neil writes another one. This is a second from Neil and Ronco.
Two in one shot.
Would you please do me the favor of forwarding this email to Michael as I lost his contact information? I need to confirm that Liz is supposed to meet me next week at my parents' apartment in Leisure World in Silver Spring to see one furnished and to review some other floor plans. From Dave Fiedler in DeWitt, Michigan. I've been a faithful listener of your show for the past 3 months. Thank you very much. But I've not heard an explanation of Littles and La Cheeserie. I assume Littles are your listeners, but I appreciate more context. I'm 6'7".
Wow.
Am I considered a little?
Yes.
A big little.
Yeah,
but yes,
a little. Big cat.
I have no idea what La Cheeserie is referring to. I listen to a few other podcasts, but yours is by far the best. La Cheeserie is the cheese counter, all of 4 feet long, in the Calvert Woodley liquor store.
I'm sure that cheese counter. I must clear it up for you.
It's a cheese counter. You say it to people. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Thank you, Mr. Tony.
Thanks, everybody.
Try to fall asleep. Oh, bet you'll never keep. Close your eyes and block out all the sound. The places that I've seen. Oh, I turn them all to green. It's the only thing I have to keep you around. Oh, keep you around. Waiting to clock in. Oh, a fight you'll never win. Always out of touch just to be right. What it kill you to do when it's always up to you. But the world without you never seems so bright. Whoa. I'm not sober and I'll never sink so low. Oh, sink so low. Every day to tell me everything's gonna be okay. I'm not really sure what the fuss is for. It's time for my sedation, an alphabet soup of their creation. It turns my colors to a boy. Oh. Searching for something, I need to think up a spell to remedy my condition. The plot forever thickens. Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm alive. We're all not so alone. In the end, I guess they're too blind to see.
then it's them.